my name is, as she said, Anna. She asked me how to pronounce my last name before I started this. And I told her to just call me Mrs. Cozy. My husband is Ukrainian. We just got married. And so my new last name is Anna Kozytinska. For everyone, feel free, Cozy, if you know Ukrainian or Russian or anything, then attempt to pronounce it. You'll probably pronounce it better than even I can. So I discovered rock climbing about 4 years ago. My friend Casey, she was a night nurse, and a lot of night nurses, after they get off, they need to just debrief from everything that they've gone through. She worked in the ICU. And so we would go rock climbing together. She had guest passes, so I didn't have to pay. But the moment that I started rock climbing, I really loved it. I never grew up super athletic. I was actually just telling my husband yesterday about a story of me running track in high school. My mom was there. She was my biggest fan. But I could not run. I could not run, but my friend Carly really wanted to run track. And so I said, Carly, I will run track with you. She wasn't a believer too, so I was thinking, this is a great ministry opportunity. But little did I know, it was a whole year commitment almost of my life of trying to run. So I could not run. And so what they did is they put me on the mile. Which, if any of you have ran track before, you know, people still run just as fast on the mile as they're going to run for the 400. And so what ended up happening, I started this race. My mom's trying not to laugh. I started this race, and by the first lap, I had already been lapped by everyone else who was running with me. By the second lap, people were already on their third and final lap, and by my last lap, they started another race. I mean, long story short, they started another race before I even finished. But I finished. My mom said that she was so proud of me. My track coach, I don't know what she was thinking. But if you finish a race, at least you make points. All of that to say, rock climbing quickly became a love for me, because there's not running in rock climbing. There's just a lot of pulling yourself up really tall walls. And one of the things that we joke about at the gym, which is actually not a joke, but whenever you go in for your first time to rock climb, they always have to tell you rock climbing is inherently dangerous. And it is. It's very dangerous, but there are a few things that they give you to help it to be safe for you, or kind of safe. When you're outdoors, a lot of things can happen, but indoors, they give you a harness. And you always need a harness. Well, I guess you don't always need a harness. There's a way to tie a rope around you and make it work. But a harness ensures that you're always safe, that you're locked into your rope. You're always going to need a helmet. So I don't wear a helmet indoors, but I always wear a helmet outdoors, because what can happen, something from the person who's climbing above you, something can fall off of their harness. It can hit you in the head. That I've actually seen this happen multiple times. It's heavy gear that's hitting your head too, so you always need to make sure to have this. There's also sometimes when you reach up to grab a rock, it just falls off the wall. And so the people down below you, you yell rock really loud and hope that they hear you, even if you're 100 feet up in the air. But if they don't hear you, a helmet usually protects you from rocks, but sometimes they're boulders that are falling off the wall too. You're going to need an anchor system. So what an anchor system does is whenever you get to the top of the wall, you have to clip in. So with rock climbing, in my mind, I was thinking, because I always climbed in a gym, I was thinking, okay, so there's always a rope up at the top, but when you're outdoors, how does the rope get to the top? You take it to the top. And so what this does is you hook in the rope through both of these carabiners, and then you have your rope at the top. And so to make that happen too, you have to climb up the wall with a rope, with nothing below you, except for these clips that are holding your rope. Now, they're so sturdy and they've been tested with thousands of pounds, so you are pretty safe. The only time that you're not is when a bolt falls off of the wall. And if a bolt falls off of the wall, the good thing is you have multiples of these. So if one of these goes loose, you have another one to catch you. this is a gree-gree, pretty much the rope So you have your climbing rope. The climbing rope is so sturdy, so durable, and it goes through here and it helps you to belay your partner. So what happens is when your partner is climbing up, there's slack in the rope, so you have to pull it through to make sure that they're held tight and that they don't fall down. We have climbing shoes, we've got like the tie-in for the top, we've got a prusik, all of these things. It really doesn't matter, but all of that to say that rock climbing has a lot of precautions to keep you safe. There are a lot of things that you quadruple check these things. Some climbers don't, but in the climbing community, you're actually looked down upon if you're not being safe while you're climbing, because you're not only compromising yourself, you're compromising everybody around you too. So I actually had the opportunity over the winter, I went and I worked at a coffee shop down in Mexico. And this coffee shop was situated right by El Potrero Chico. And El Potrero Chico, it's a worldwide famous rock climbing destination. Most people, I would say a very large percentage of rock climbers are not believers. It's more of a bohemian or like a hippie community. But we had a really cool opportunity to be able to share the love of Jesus, to serve people, and all of the proceeds from that coffee shop that I had the opportunity to work at, they went towards a local school. At the local school, they built this school in a village because it was number one for teen pregnancy in all of Mexico. And so they wanted to build this school. It's a Christian school, and it's free to all of the kids who go there. But they wanted to educate not just the women or the young girls in the town, but they wanted to offer education for all of the kids in the town, and to share the love of Jesus too, to hope that they could, by shining a light, that they could help in that village. So this is El Potrero Chico. This is the canyon that I'm also not a very great climber. Let me say this too. So like my running, that's kind of like my climbing is. But I really enjoy the outdoors. I really enjoy climbing. So somehow I got the job to go down and work at this coffee shop. But good climbers, they're going to be climbing hundreds and hundreds of feet. So the tallest route in El Potrero Chico, it's 23 pitches. So one pitch is going to be where you go to the top of the wall and you put the rope up at the top so that the other person down at the bottom can climb up. One pitch is about 60 to 100 feet tall. Now, Time Wave Zero, which is the tallest route in all of El Potrero Chico, is 23 pitches, which means that it's 2,300 feet in the air. And all that you have, this right here, and like maybe a backpack with some snacks and some water. But it can't be heavy either. So you got to do like your Clif bars and your peanut butter in a Ziploc bag and all that stuff. I never climbed that route, but there's a man named Alex Honnold. Okay, so this is free climbing. This picture over at the left is free climbing. That's when you clip in along the way, you have like your rope. You can have unsafe falls when you're clipped in, but there are some people, and again, this is not encouraged in the climbing community. There are some people who decide to go free soloing. And what free soloing is when you have nothing but, I don't even know where mine is, but a chalk bag. It's a little bag where you can put your hand in whenever they get sweaty and then you can put them on. He climbed Time Wave Zero. So he was 2,300 feet up in the air with no gear on. And again, this is not something that's like encouraged at all in the rock climbing community. And a lot of people look down on it. And there are tons of articles you can find online and videos online that people are like, why are you doing this? You're endangering other people too. And so one of the this is even crazier, is that there's a wall almost three times the height of the route. And it's in Yosemite National Park. And this wall is 7,569 feet. And there's a documentary on Netflix about him free soloing this super tall wall. There's actually the girl, I'm trying to look for her name, Emily Harrington. She was the first woman to also complete free soloing 7,000 plus feet in the air. It's, again, it's not encouraged, but it is something that you almost, you don't want to be in awe of because it's hazardous. Like there's nothing smart about it, but it is amazing when you think about it that people could actually do this. But here's the thing. John Bakar, Derek Hersey, Vic Hendrickson, Robert Steele, Dwight Bishop, Jimmy Ray Forrester, Jimmy Jewell, Tony Wilmot, John Taylor, several others have died free soloing. The survival rate of free soloing is only 10%, if not less than that. So I've never free soloed. I don't even think I could get off the ground without a rope. But I do often try to free solo through my own life. I try to do different things like dealing with sin struggles, dealing with to-do lists, dealing with hurts, dealing with big decisions, dealing with small decisions, dealing with sadnesses. All of these things, I try to free solo my life, my own way through my own life. God has given us, he's given us all the gear that we need. He's given us his spirit. He's given us the word. He's given us accountability. And one of the huge things about climbing is that you can't do it, at least in the proper way, without a partner. You can't climb a rock alone. And in the same way, we can't free solo through our life alone. And one of the greatest, again, one of the greatest things that the Lord has given to us is each other. He's given to us the church. He's given to us close family and close friends. So Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, this is so applicable to rock climbing, and for life, obviously. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. So when discovering the topic of this seminar, there are so many things that we can talk about. There are so many avenues of discussion surrounding social media. It's very new. And so there are a lot of things that we don't even know about it. We don't even know the way that it affects us. We don't even know the way that it affects others. And we can talk about how things that you see on a screen, it's often not reality because you can post anything that you want. I can make my life, and I have at some points, I can make my life look any way that I want for it to. I could have focused on how unrealistic expectations are formed, how we look at other people's lives, how we covet what they have. I thought about speaking on how important it is to guard what we post, which it's very important to guard what we post. I could also talk about how we're sponges. We absorb everything. I'm 26, even I know my grandmother at 91 years old would say that she's a sponge. Anything that you surround yourself with, you absorb. And so that definitely applies to social media. And it definitely applies to living life online. Though all of these are so true, and they have affected my life, as I know that they have others, in today's seminar, I wanted to hone in on one main takeaway. Living life online can so often make us free solo our way through life. It can really isolate us. This is all too real of a reality of how living life online, it can isolate us from God. It can isolate us from even ourselves. It can isolate us from family. It can isolate us from friends. It can isolate us from the reality that we live in. It can isolate us from God's creation around us. So how does living life behind a screen isolate you and cause you to free solo your way through life? Living online can isolate us from, first, God. We can try to get social media to fill a place that only God can in our lives. And again, this is coming from a very personal place. This is coming from my own testimony and things that I've struggled through and things that I'm still struggling through. It's easy to try to get love, worth, and even authority from our life online. So God is the only one who can give us the love that will fill the God-sized hole in our hearts. Our worth is found in God alone. It's not found by how many likes you get. It's not found, whether online or in life. I'm a real people pleaser. And so I have been learning a lot, even just in the past few months, that it's not the love of others. The love of others is so important, and I don't want to negate that in my life. But it's not the love of others or the likes of others that fills that place. It can only be God. And also, God is our authority. All that we do should be submitted to Him. And one of the most dangerous things about free soloing your way through life by living life behind a screen is that we become our own authority. We look at what we want. We post what we want. We say what we want. We think that we have all the authority in the world because we have a computer that knows more than we do in our hands. So what is filling your mind? I think that's a really good thing to ask yourself whenever you're looking at living life online. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." When we think about these things, we rest in God's truth. When we do not, we isolate ourselves from God's paths of righteousness, not thinking about that which is from God and of God and pointing us towards God. Can easily cause us to free solo our way through life. It can be like climbing a mountain with no safety gear. It leaves us open to the many dangers that come with trying to navigate our life alone. Second, living life online can isolate us from our families. By isolating ourselves through living life online, we can easily neglect family. I feel like this picture is all too familiar to every single one of us in this room. Keeping up with friends on a screen can be more important to us than cultivating those relationships that are right in front of us. Another thing that I've noticed in my own life is that forgiveness of family members and just forgiveness of people in general can be blocked by a screen because bitterness can actually grow even more when you numb things out and live life online. Also, this is a hot take, so I don't know if everyone, the teenagers in this room, are going to agree with me on this one, but allow your parents to know what you're looking at. Let them know. Don't hide things from them. Who are you talking to? What are you posting? What are you doing? What are you saying? Also, allow them to limit your social media if they see fit to do so. Don't fight it, because it's so easy saying these things like now that I'm 26, but honestly, your parents limiting your social media or the things that they do, they genuinely are doing it out of love because they see a place of concern and they're pointing that out to you and they're disciplining you in the way, hopefully led by wisdom from God. So I know it's awful and it's uncool, but they are doing this for your best. Allow them to speak into those areas of your life. The third is that living life online can actually isolate us from ourselves. This leads to isolating yourself from help, from openness, from freedom, from honesty, from joy, and it even isolates you from adventure. Living online can mute life from the reality that God created us in. The isolated and secret life, it's honestly like setting up a house with no windows and putting a bathtub in there and allowing it to steam up the place and expecting there not to be mold that grows in the house. So whenever, this is one thing that, I don't remember who pointed it out to me, I do not want to take credit for it, but when I was in college, someone said that sin in our life is like mold. It doesn't grow in the well-lit sunroom. It doesn't grow in your bedroom where you watch the sunrise rise in the morning. It doesn't grow in the living room where prisms of color are cast upon the wall at sunset. Where does mold grow in a house usually? It grows in the deep, dark, damp places of the house, either in the laundry room, in the crawl space, in the basement. And sin is like that in our own life. It starts to grow in those dark places. And what the enemy wants us to do, he doesn't want us to open up about it. Because just like mold, the second that light hits it, it'll die. And so one thing that social media does is it really isolates us from ourselves, from being honest with ourselves, from opening up to other people about what's truly going on in our heart. Fourth, allowing a screen to isolate you, it keeps you from your friends. So I have a few questions for you to consider, and this is for people of all ages. This whole seminar, I feel like while I was writing it, I was like, oh my goodness. I was like looking at social media, and then I was like, Anna, get back to the seminar. And I was like, oh my goodness, you're writing a seminar about this. But it just goes to show we all live by God's grace, and we're all working through these things, especially social media, because it, again, it's something that's so new to our world. So I have a few questions for you to consider. When you spend time together with your friends, are you actually spending quality time with those who you are close with? Are these friends, friends who can truly bear your burdens with you? And are they friends that you're actually open with about what you're going through? Are your closest friends those who can spiritually encourage you? Or do you isolate yourself from those who will be honest with you? James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, this next part, I do want to say that I understand that depression and anxiety, they are real. And so I don't want to say any of this to negate the fact that people really do struggle with these things. But I have thought a lot while I'm preparing this. Have you ever thought that much of depression and anxiety can be escalated by isolating ourselves? And it can especially be escalated by isolating ourselves behind a fake reality, which is in front of us, behind a screen. If phones tend to isolate us, then how is it going to affect one spiritually and emotionally? We need those close friends in our lives who we can confess our sin to, who we can pray with whom no part of our life is hidden. We weren't made to walk with any part hidden in our hearts. We were meant to walk in openness and vulnerability. And God has given us those around us, those trusted friends, those true friends. And if you can't think of any trusted or true friends that you have, pray for them. Pray that God will provide them in your life. And he will. He's faithful to do that. Fifth, living life online can isolate you from your local body of believers. This can happen in many, many ways. The first is by living a double life. One life online and another life at church. I was in high school at one point, and I will say I did struggle with this. It's very easy to feel that you can't be open about certain parts of your life and what you're going through with those at your church. But trust me, they want to know what's going on in your heart. They want to know what's going on in your life so that you don't have to live an isolated life behind the screen. The second way is to only attend church online and to not gather with a real body who is going to walk with you in accountability and encouragement. The third way is that living life online can also cause a lot of Wi-Fi issues. But living life online It can also keep you from ministry opportunities. It can keep you from volunteering the time that you might be spending scrolling. I actually read this, and I wasn't going to put anything about it because statistics are kind of like, okay, these are numbers on a screen. My mind does not work with numbers, so. But it is, they did a recent study, and teenage, young adult, men and women, they spend an average of 9 hours per day on their phone. Whether that's texting, even, it might be, they might track that and it might be some GPS, it might be like different things like that, or podcasts or whatever that might be, but 9 hours a day. And I sleep like, well, at least I like to sleep like 9 hours. So that doesn't leave me very many hours left in the day to be doing much of anything else. But think about how we could be spending our time to bring joy to others and serve them as the hands and feet of Jesus rather than living an isolated life behind a screen. And trust me, people at your church are going to want and need your help in different ministry capacities. And there are other ministries in your town that you can get involved in as well. Sixth, and we kind of covered this already, but living life online can isolate us from reality. God created us. Okay, I think about this a lot. And God created us in this reality for a reason. And social media or living life online, it takes you away from that. Have you ever noticed yourself, and this is me speaking, I'm speaking to myself. Have you ever noticed yourself getting so swept away in cyberspace that online life actually feels more real than the one that we're actually living? This is a free soloing danger sign because a device in our hand is taking away our focus from the world we're in and numbing us from being guarded against the attacks of the enemy. Seventh, living life online, it can isolate us from God's wonderful creation. Now, some people don't really like to go outside, and I understand that, but even like a pretty flower in your house or something like that, it takes us away from truly enjoying the beauties that are right around us. This one is pretty simple, but what are you missing out on by being on your phone? Put the phone down and get outside. Maybe it's 100 degrees. Maybe wait until the sun goes down or something like that. Put some bug spray on. I don't know what all you'll have to do. But just take 15 minutes, 15 minutes a day if possible. Even if that 15 minutes is walking into Walmart, just take a really long walk, just park really far back and walk really far, because God has created, first of all, the beauty of his creation brings joy to us because he's our creator. And so we delight in his creation. But also he's given vitamins, like vitamins from sunshine, pure air, all of those things. It's to rejuvenate our bodies, to heal us. And so it's very important to get outside. So I'm going to share a little bit of my personal testimony and why I think isolation was the first thing that came up whenever I thought of living life online. Whenever I was a little girl, I was about 7 years old, I was introduced to some things online that were not appropriate. I lived with that shame and that guilt for a really long time, and I never told anybody about it. I never felt like I needed to. I thought that maybe those struggles of looking at this stuff online or watching this stuff online would go away over time. But really what happened, just like that mold that builds in a house, if you don't shine light on it, it's going to continue to grow. So in my life, that mold just continued to grow and grow. And so one day I was at a worship night. I think Reese was there. It was at Cross Timbers. We had a worship night with the youth group. And I brought my two friends, Casey and Danielle. And after that, they said, we were close before, but we had never really opened up about our stories with each other before. We had never really carried those burdens before with each other. And so they said, we need to go to Starbucks and we all need to share what we're going through, because we need to really make this friendship deep. We need to dig down roots into this friendship. So we went and I told them about the struggle that I had had. I told them about the things that I had looked at, the things that I had allowed my mind to be open to, even the things that I thought about, the things that I was dwelling on, the way that I looked at people. I opened up about those things with them. These are my two closest friends, and both of them said, we went through the exact same thing too. And the moment that they said that, the moment that I even opened up about it, the light of Jesus was able to shine in those dark places that I was not allowing his light to shine before. And at that moment too, and again, we walk in the flesh still. So I'm not saying that this is something that I've overcome for the rest of my life. I pray by God's grace that it is. But since that moment, it's never been something that I've struggled with since. And I know that God has made us to be able to bear each other's burdens, so that once what held us so captive, we can be freed from by his grace. So we've covered 7 ways that living life online can isolate us. But here's the Wi-Fi again. Here are 3 sure ways to combat and fight against living an isolated life online. The first piece of advice I would give is to find accountability. I think accountability is something that is kind of thrown around in the church and we don't really know what it means. But find those core people in your life who you can be open with about everything. Now, if there is something that you've been holding on to in your heart for your whole life, God will provide people in your life who you can talk to about it. And I really do desire that each and every one of you in this room can find freedom and hope and light in that area. And specifically today, if it has to do with something online. So Danielle and Casey, I want everyone to have a Danielle and a Casey in their life. My two friends who sat down with me, who let me be open about everything, who said that they prayed with me after. There was no, Anna, I can't believe you, why did this happen? There was prayer. There was a desire for God's grace to heal those things in my life. I want you all to have nothing left in those dark corners of your heart. No room for mold to build up. Do not expect to navigate this life with all of its temptations and the desires of our flesh alone. It's like climbing without a harness. When it comes to social media, be honest with yourself and be honest with friends about what you look at, what you think about, what you fill your mind with. Also, this keeps you safe. Number 2, share the gospel online. We literally have the whole world. Well, I mean, I don't have like the whole world, but some people do. But we do have a lot of followers, some followers that we don't even know, some friends that we don't even know on our friends list. And so whenever we share any bit of the gospel story, that's a piece that they have an opportunity to see. Third, be open to correction. Okay. Now, this is an area where I really struggle with, because I take things very, very personally, but it is something that I do desire for the Lord to grow in me. It's to be open to correction. Be open to correction if you post something and it's not appropriate. Be open to correction if you comment something and it's not Christ-like. Be open to correction from yourself. If you have posted something, let's say even 2 years ago, be open to taking it down. Be open to correction, even if that means getting rid of your phone and getting a flip phone. Even if that means deleting social media apps from your phone. Be open to that correction, because that's correction coming from godly and wise people. That correction is the Holy Spirit, and it's called conviction. And we always need to be open and receptive to the Holy Spirit's conviction. And again, I'm saying that to myself. And I desire to be able to lay down my pride and listen to other people who are desiring to pour love and light into my life. And for when the Spirit is moving in my life as well. Is social media completely bad? I feel like after these seminars, it's always like, oh my goodness, I'm gonna throw my phone in the river and like go and live in the woods. Which, if you wanna do that, like if the Lord is calling it John the Baptist, I mean, come on. Like some people, that is their calling in life. I also know a coffee shop in Mexico in a village that is hiring people. So if any of you wanna go and live there and not have very good cell service, I can let you know. The thing is, with a lot of things in life, and I heard this from a pastor named Matt Chandler, but when it comes to all of these issues, it's a wisdom issue. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's not like, oh, you do this and you're a good Christian. You have social media, you're a bad Christian. No, is it wise? Have you gone to the Lord about these things? Have you prayed about these things? Wisdom is, I brought a sifter. I don't even know if you all know. Well, I know a lot of people do. I don't know if young people know what a sifter is. And it's my grandmother's sifter. So it's like, and my dad said that she doesn't wash it. Because if you wash it, the flour gets, so this is probably flour from 1960. I don't really know. But I could probably sell this online and make some money. But a sifter, what you do, okay, this is going to make such a mess. I don't know if I can do this. Pretty much, yeah. We're both going to get flour all over us.
Oh, lovely.
So a sifter, what you do is you put flour in the top. Wow, it really is. And then you move this. Okay, that's, I think that'll, woo! Woo! But you put flour in the top, and what it does is it gets out all the clumps from the flour so that your recipe and your cake or whatever you're making is going to be smoother. And so that when you're mixing, you don't get like pieces of butter or chunks of this that are like all surrounded by the flour, they're not mixing in. So what wisdom is it's like a sifter that God allows us to put around our hearts. And so whenever things are coming in, they're sifted through that wisdom. And so I think one of the greatest takeaways that you can take from today, well, two, I'll say two. The first is to not live an isolated life, not to free solo your way through life. And the second one is pray for wisdom, because navigating life online, it's a navigation of what is wise and what is foolish. Ephesians 5, 1 through 21, I'm going to read the whole thing because it's a really good passage. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand that the will of the understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. My closing challenge to you is write down a list, whether it's tonight, whether it's in 5 months, whenever you think about it, but write down a list of the areas that you're trying to free solo through life. It might be social media, it might be other things, but write down this list. Pray through this list and ask the Lord to truly redeem these areas. Do not rely on your own strength. I try to do that a lot. It does not work. Do not try to isolate yourself by living your life free soloing online. Do not free solo your way through this life. Live in openness. Make sure to wear your harness and your helmet. And never forget the most important part, a partner. If you all would like to talk to me after this, I would be so glad to meet you. I would be so glad to introduce you to my husband too. He has a different cultural perspective on all of these things, which is really cool as well. But thank you all so much for coming to this seminar.